are we on?
Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise. I got so involved in watching that video that I saw my video cue come up and I just took off and left my mic. Sometimes it's good to leave behind some stuff. Come on, somebody. So sometimes it's good to leave some stuff behind us. You know, one of the challenges in life is we want to carry everything and everyone with us. But when you bring everything along, they hinder you in what God's called you to do. Abraham, leave your family, your friends, everything, and follow me. Sounds good, God. Hey, Lot, what are you doing tomorrow? And he brought his nephew, who later became an opportunity. Literally, when Lot was being attacked, what did Abraham do? He went to fight for Lot, risking destiny because of someone who was never supposed to be there. In life, we have to be willing to lay, the Bible says it this way, lay aside not only the sins, but the weights. Youth, family, adults, friends, there's times in our lives God will ask us to step out of some stuff that we're comfortable with, that we're familiar with, that we're used to. Come on, somebody. That we, at one time, so, ooh, I really like them. You know what I mean? I don't want to lose that. I had some comfort in there. And they might bring comfort. Do you know the tactic of the enemy is to create a sense of security and comfort to the place that you won't step out of what the devil's holding you back in? Because not every trap smells bad. Oh, come on, somebody. We just stepped into some. Not every trap smells bad. You know, if you're ever going to try to catch a mouse, what do? You don't put on what smells good to you. You put on what smells good to them. Because not every trap smells bad. And the devil sometimes holds us back from eternity and destiny, not with stuff that looks bad or sounds bad, but is comfortable enough that keeps us from saying, I'm going to let go of the good because there's something called great, the of destiny of God. And I got to leave something behind me to get to where God's taking me. One of the things that water baptism does is that it's not salvation because we are saved by grace through faith. The blood of Jesus has all power to save us of all things. Are you listening to me? The blood of Jesus can save every person who ever lived. The power's in the blood. Say, there's power in the blood. Oh, I remember growing up in church way back in the day. I'm old enough to say that. Way back in the day, and we would sing it. We might not have been in tune. We might not have had it, the temple right, but we used to sing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Do you remember that song? And we would sing it, and we would sing it, and we thought we were just singing it, but I'm letting you know, when we were singing it, the devil was hearing it. And when we were singing it, those tormenting spirits were hearing it. And we were singing it, that spirit of mediocrity was hearing it. Hearing it, because you're singing enough and the devil says, I gotta go because I can't take the presence that comes with the power. Oh, there's power in the blood, child of God. There's, if you don't realize that, get in the Word and study that. You need to walk down the hallways of your apartment or your condo or your house and say, I plead the blood. Do y'all remember, some of you old timers, you know what that meant. We used to plead the blood. I plead the blood over my family. I plead the blood over our cars. I plead the blood over our house. And walk and lift your hands and begin to speak out of your mouth. Father, I thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus because the blood is well capable of not only saving you, but the Bible says the blood of Jesus has destroyed the power of the devil. He can't harm you. He can't touch you. Come on. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. We have the blood of Jesus. Shall I plead the blood? I'm tried to walk away from that stuff. They lead me back. It's, you need the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets us free. The blood of Jesus saves us. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus challenged everything I say with the Word of God. Don't take my word for anything. Challenge it, because you grow when you figure out where it's at. Some verses I'll put on the screen, some I'll quote, some I'll just reference, and you have to look for yourself, because this is not, I am not a baby bird, I'm not your mama bird, and I am not force feeding you food today. I'm going to give you enough to say, I'm going to check into this, because if this, what this preacher is saying is true, I don't have to live with torment. If what this preacher is saying is true, I don't have to be bound. If what this preacher is saying is true. I don't have to live with fear. If what this preacher, are you listening to me? That what God has given you, this thing called the dynamic life, is available to you, that you don't have to live beyond or below what God has for you. You can step out of what the enemy's been holding you. All right, some of you, are you listening to me? All right, we need to be willing to say, God, if you have it for me, show me, and I'll step out. I'm going to step out of some stuff. I might have to step out of some bad relationships. I might have to step out of some bad habits. I might have to step out of some things that are eating my time. Oh, I don't have time to go to church or time to read the Bible or time. You had time for this, that, and this, and none of those are for eternal. They will hold you back. Sometimes we got to let go of the good stuff to get to the great stuff. Not everything smells bad that the devil will use against you. Not every trap smells bad. Sometimes it'll just hold you back and weigh you down and say, oh, I remember when I was excited back in that day or that week or that month. But you know, things aren't the same. It's not the same because you didn't walk back in to where God brought you. Not only do we have to walk out of some stuff, we have to keep walking into some stuff. Are you listening to me? We got to keep walking into the Word of God. We got to keep walking in. We're short on time, so I'm going to just get it to you quick, and you can do what you want. But we got to be willing to walk back into the house of God. Keep walking into the presence of God. Keep walking into the Word of God. Are you listening? Keep walking in, obeying God. It's not a matter, I did it before. When you say, I've been there before, that should be good enough. That's like the logic of someone saying, I went to the gym 6 months ago. Why am I not in shape anymore? You don't stay in shape because you went to the gym back in the day. Why am I not skinny? I dieted 3 months ago. I gave up a meal and only ate healthy and clean. Yeah, but what about the 3,000 meals after that? We have to keep coming back to the place where God wants us. Are you listening to me? We got to let go of some stuff. Forgetting those things which are behind. Youth, when school starts, you might not be able to be close friends with everybody you were close friends before. But I've known them since kindergarten, but there's sometimes you can't take everybody to destiny. When God says step away, you got to step out of that. It's getting quiet. You know, there's a better response when I talk to the youth about it. Let me talk to you. Adults, sometimes we got to let some people go. You might love them, but you can love them from afar. They're not there helping you. They're not celebrating you. They're not encouraging you. They are weighing you down, trying to talk you out of serving God, trying to talk you into living in sin, trying to walk you back into the old lifestyle. You before, don't you remember what you came out of? My God, Israel was delivered out of the bondage of Egypt, out of slavery and starvation and abuse. And yet when they were out just a short time, you know what they did? They begin to say, you know, let's go back. What do you mean go back? For 400 years you pray, God, get us out of this pit. Some of you have been praying, God, get me out of this pit. Get me out of this bondage. Get me out of this mindset. Get me out of this torment. Get me out of this addiction. And get me out of this bad relationship. And a few months later, when God delivers you, you start thinking, oh, I feel a little lonely. Maybe I'm going to call them up again. Maybe I'm going to see what they're doing. The Bible in Proverbs says that a person returns back to their sin like a dog does to its vomit. You got to wake yourself up and say, wait a minute. I want it out for a reason. I wanted to be set free for a reason. The devil will try to get you to forget of the bondage that he brought to lure you back into that pit. Don't go back. Step out of it. Somebody say, step out of it. Come on, if you believe what I'm saying is true, shout, step out of it. There is some stuff we have to step out of. I said there is some stuff we have to step out of. And God doesn't say, now, remember back in the day they were trying to do a anti-drug campaign from the presidential side? Just say no. Only problem with that, it's not a decision by will. You can't explain. You know, we look at things logically and say, why would people do that? Well, it's because you're trying to rationalize from the realm of logic. Sin is not a logical realm. Why would somebody give up their family and go on a binge with drugs? Why would they destroy their own body? Why would they break and damage their children? Sin is evil. The devil doesn't play fair. And it's not a place of logic. You can't deal with spiritual things with logical solutions. One of the problems the disciples had when they were, Jesus said, get in the boat, we're going over, I'm taking a nap. And they woke up Jesus, why? Because they were rowing and they were exhausted and the storm had come and the water was building up. And all of a sudden they realized that they were gonna die and they woke Jesus up and said, don't you even care? Too many times we begin to blame God. God, don't you even care? I'm going through this. God does care. That's why he sent Jesus. But one of the problems they were dealing with is they had a spiritual warfare and they were fighting it with natural solutions. That was a spiritual storm. It came up suddenly. When they woke Jesus up, what did he do? He stood up and he spoke to the wind. He rebuked it and they spoke peace to the water. He brought in seconds what they couldn't do in moments, in hours. Why? Because they were trying to solve it. Some of us have been trying to discipline righteousness, discipline freedom, discipline peace, and we're trying to do it on our own ability, and we struggle and say, God, I guess it's not for us. But what you have to understand, there are some things that are not done by the natural. They have to be done by the spiritual, because it's not a matter of you just saying no to something. You have to be set free from someone. It's getting quiet in here. Say, step out. That is not just a decision of your will. That's when you say, God, I need your power. Set me free to step out. Touch me, Lord Jesus, so I don't have to stay in. I can step out. Lord, your word told me to do it. So if your word tells me to do it, that means you've given me the ability. I'm going to step out. Water baptism, what we're doing tonight, and this is all connected. Water baptism is not only a public confession of our faith. What we have to understand, God the Father, in his infinite wisdom, knew that once you got saved, the enemy was still going to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life in him. And life more abundantly. I have come that you might. I have come. That means it's available, but that doesn't mean everyone will have it, even though it's available. Salvation is available to all, but not everyone will get saved. Even though it's the will of the Father, the Bible says that none perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so there is a quality of life. The Greek word is zoe, the God quality. We call it dynamic life. There is a quality of life that enables us to experience God and say, God, I can have a quality of life that is beyond my best ability. Jesus said, I've come that you might, it's available. Look to your neighbor and say, it's available to me. But a thief does what? A thief tries to steal what you have of value. A thief doesn't try to give you something that you don't like. A thief tries to take what is of value, even though you might not be aware of its value. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the Father knew that once you got saved, the devil's not going to say, okay, all demons, everybody, listen up, quick boardroom meeting. So-and-so just got saved. You know, we had them for a long time. They were under our thumb. They were under our power. We had blinded their minds. We had them. They were self-destructing. They were hurting and harming people. They were one of our A students. We were really doing well with them. But now they just given their life to Jesus. So everybody, are you listening to me? Hands off. Don't touch them anymore. Let's just clap. They're going to serve God. We don't like it, but we can't do anything about it. You know what he's going to do? He's going to say, give it time, and let's go back and check in on them. Let's see if they're going to really change. And where does he change? Attack? Not in the natural, typically, but in the area, the realm of our mind. Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Because the devil comes back and tries to say, look who you used to be. Do you really think God's forgiven you? Do you think God really is going to accept you? And he tries to devalue you to be a second-rate citizen. And there is no second-rate system in the kingdom of God. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Are you listening? And so what happens is the devil, even though he knows and you know you're safe, he will try to get you to disqualify yourself. He can't keep you from it, but he can try to talk you out of it. He can talk you out of that healing, talk you out of that blessing, talk you out of that peace, talk you out of that joy. Well, I guess this is as good as it's going to get. I guess this is what it's going to be like. I guess this is all that God has for. You see people, hey, let me do this for you. No, that's too much. I don't want, if someone's trying to give you something, don't tell them, no, it's too much. I was talking to somebody recently. Oh, this person called me and they want to give me this money and buy this from me. And I'm like, what's the problem? I think that's way too much. They don't need to do that. I said, listen, you've been praying for God to bless you and God sends somebody to call you and they want to give you money for something and you say, no, thank you. What is your problem? Don't you realize in Malachi 3, part of the benefit of the covenant that said, Malachi 3:10, I will pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to contain it. One translation says, I will pour out a blessing until you say it is enough. The problem with a lot of us in the church world, it's not that it's not, that the blessing of God or the peace of God or the joy of God is unavailable. It's because we, with our own decisions and words, have said, God, that's enough. I don't think I deserve that. I can't handle that. I'll be happy on Sunday, but I know I'm going to be miserable on Monday, and that's just the way it is. But God says, listen, I have way more for you, but you are stopping your own blessing. You are stopping me from working. Why? Because the devil has convinced us in the mindset. Don't you realize, Joyce Myers did a great book many years ago, The Battlefield of the Mind. T.D. Jakes did a great message that the biggest attack that you will deal with is not from the words of people. It won't be from people. It'll be what the devil's whispering and getting you to believe in your own thought life. And you begin to say, oh, I see God doing that for others, but that's not good. I'm not good enough to go there. I don't deserve that. And so God knew that there would be a place that after salvation that you are forgiven, but the devil would try to use it against you. And so he created this thing called water baptism. All right, let me get to my verses. 1 Peter chapter 3. And baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from what? Inward questions and fears. Oh, I know I'm free, but the devil keeps telling me I'm coming back. I can't stay out. I can't be free too long. That's a lie of the devil. Listen to me. Jesus said it. Do you believe the words of Jesus? Jesus said that the devil is the father of lies and there is no truth. So the next time the devil begins to mess with your imagination and tell you that you're going under or it's not going to work for you or you'll never stay this way or you're going to come back, just smile. Just laugh a little. He'll be like, what are you laughing at? I'm laughing at you. What do you mean laughing at me? Because you're a liar. You're the father of lies. And if you tell me I'm not going to stay, then the opposite must be true. Not by the removing of outward body, filth, bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, inward cleanness and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does it give you? It gives you that inward peace and clear conscience, so that when you're fighting for something, you're fighting against something, you're believing for something, you're asking God for something, and the devil says, you think God's going to give that to you? Do you think you deserve that? You can say, no, I don't deserve it, but by grace through faith, I'm saved, and in salvation, he's made it available. I am free. No more bondage. No more chains. No more. Are you listening? You are free. Shout, I'm free. Come on, shout, I'm free. A clear conscience. I like to think of it this way. It is a spiritual cemetery of your past. Oh, remember when we used to go out and do that way back in the day? No, that wasn't me. It sure was you. I remember we used to do that, man. We used to. No. Wasn't me. Doesn't the Bible say it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me? The life I live by faith in the Son of God. Right? When you go and bury someone in the cemetery, you might go up to your family member, friend, and look at that casket. You might go up to that cemetery and that gravesite and look at that tombstone. You might try to talk to them. It's been a rough day today, Dad. Dad's not there. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. You know what's there? The old body in the ground. Mom's not there. Your sister and brothers, they're not there. That's their body. That's not them. That's just the shell. They're in heaven. So you don't go up to that grave and say, by the way, you owe me 10 bucks. You don't go up to that grave. You don't go to a casket at a funeral and say, hey, you owe me something. Because you don't get a response out of people that are dead. They're no longer there. That body just represents the physical of who they used to be, not who they are. Water baptism is a spiritual cemetery. Why? Because when the devil comes back and says, remember 12 years ago? Remember in 1987 when you did this? Nope, that wasn't me. Yes, it was. Nope, that was not me. I can take you to the graveyard. And I can point to where that person was buried. And that person is not me anymore. The Bible says, behold, all things are brand new. You are a new creation in Christ. The devil said, oh, you always did drugs. And now that's not me. That was somebody else. And you can come out of that water under the power of the resurrection, just like Jesus had died and was resurrected. We have that same access. Last verse, Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. What is that? A graveyard. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So that we should also walk in newness of life. That we should also walk in. We need to walk in. Some of us have been standing outside the door knocking. We've been kicking. We've been screaming. We've been yelling. And it's like if someone says, here's my key, let yourself in. What do? You don't knock. You don't bang. You don't cry. You don't scream. You use your key and you walk in. Shall walk in. We got to be willing to walk in what God has for us. I've come that you might have eternal life. Might have this life that I made available. But I can't force feed you, but it's available to you. He has prepared for you a table in the midst of your enemies. So it's not just in heaven. You shouldn't have enemies in heaven. It's the enemies here on earth. And God has prepared a table for you. But you have to be willing to approach the table and believe that you receive, Mark 11, 23, 24. Believe that you receive what God. Walk into it. Don't cry. Don't get angry. Don't be frustrated. Say, God, give me the key. And he says, let me show you the key with my word. I paid for everything. The buffet has been paid for by my son. All you got to do is walk in. You deserve it, not based on you. You deserve it based on him. Walk into the newness of life. When those of you are getting baptized tonight, when you come out of that water, we'll pray over that water before. That water is a water park before we got there. That water is highly chlorinated in Jesus' name. Water for the public before we get there. But the moment we step into it, we will speak over it and we will call those things which be not as though they were. And we will say, water, you're no longer just water. You are a spiritual graveyard. You are a place that's been anointed by God. You have been set apart by the blood of Jesus. And we decree this moment and this place to be sanctified and empowered by the anointing of the Spirit of God. When people go in, they come out, and they'll come out different, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in, notice this, newness of life. Newness. So there's some stuff that God will ask you to walk out of. But he doesn't say, just say no and stand there and wait. He says, I'm offering you something better that exceeds anything you've ever experienced. There is a peace, the Bible says, that exceeds your understanding. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has already prepared for those who love him, but he reveals them to us by his Spirit. God is saying, I know you have been living on those cold French fries from the local fast food restaurant, but I prepared a filet mignon with baked potato, loaded. Come on, somebody. Salad, get behind me, devil. And a large piece of carrot cake. Come on, somebody. Heated just the right way with the perfect cup of coffee to finish it off. Come on, somebody. And we are hanging on to French fries that we bought at White Castle two nights ago. And we're saying, but this is what I know. And God says, but this is what I prepared. But this is where I've been. God said, this is where I'm at. This is all I know, but this is what is available to you. But you gotta let go to go on and grab on what God has for you. Hebrews says, by faith, we lay hold on the promises. We lay hold, we gotta get a hold of them. We gotta lay hold and say, Father, your word says that by your stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, I was healed. Your word says in Mark 8 that you bore and took my sickness and infirmity. Your word says that you are the God who is more than enough. Your word says that you are my Jehovah Jireh. Can I get a witness in the house today? Let me go over here. Your word says I'm the head and not the tail. Your word says in Psalms 3 that whatever I put my hands to shall prosper. Can I get a witness today? Your word says that I have the mind of Christ. Your word says that I have on the helmet of salvation. I have a covenant filter over my thoughts, intents, and everything I see. I will not judge things by the seeing of eyes or the hearing of ears, but I have an anointing to judge a righteous judgment. Isaiah chapter 11. Can I get a witness today? You are not called to walk like average people. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Peter says you are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird. That means cut above. Not because of you, but because of who you belong to. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Am I talking to somebody? You're not a reject. You're not a failure. You're not a loser. You're not unwanted. You are not. People might be cruel and crazy, but praise God, those people didn't pay the price to save you. Jesus said, I've given it all on Calvary. You are a great prize. You are a great pearl of great price. You are something that is special to me. You are of great value. Are you listening to me? You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You are greater is he that is in you. Talk to me, church. I'm telling you, God has great plans for you. Hallelujah. Give me more mic. I can't hear myself. Hallelujah. We got to be willing to let go of some cold stuff, some junk, to get hold of the prize, what he has available to us. Paul says, I forget those things which are behind me, and I press. You know what that tells me? That there is opposition to the destiny. There's opposition to the prize. There's opposition to the call, but that's okay. There might be giants in your land. Don't be mad. If there wasn't giants in your promised land, everybody you know would get there before you and try to pretend and activate the squatter's rights. But when you get there, they won't even be there because they don't want to deal with the giant. But that giant that the enemy put in to try to keep you out is keeping out all those crazy cousins that try to show up and get what you got. Listen, you got to tell people, I love you, but I can't give you the oil that belongs to me. I can't give you the oil that belongs to me. You have to go for your own oil. Matthew 25. You have to go for your own oil. I love you, and I've been hanging with you, and I know you, but I can't give you the oil that God's given me. It belongs to me. God's got a destiny. He's got a purpose. People got to learn to activate what God has for themselves. Let them walk it out by faith. Don't judge them. Don't criticize them. Encourage them. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying. Encourage them, but don't give them up your oil because you feel sorry for them. Encourage them. You can get oil too. Encourage them. God has something for you too. Encourage them. God can bless you like he blessed me. Encourage them. There's more than enough. He's El Shaddai. Encourage him, but don't give him your oil. God has something great for you, but we have to lay hold of it. Don't hang on. So you got to let go of those cold fries. They've done made your hand greasy. They've done made your system sick. They've done caused all kinds of problems. And we hang on to some silly stuff. We have learned to value the thing of no value. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. We have to let go of the things that truly don't have value to get a hold of the things that truly do have value. The things that last for eternity, the things that impact eternity. Look to your neighbor and say, don't let go of your oil. We got to keep coming back in. Youth, you got to keep coming back in. You'll have basketball games, football games, baseball games. You will have it. We had it. Everybody had it. And everybody who said that it was important enough to miss what God had for you, today they don't serve God and they are on the path of split hell wide open. Are you listening to me? Can I talk straight to you? We have to get real and quit letting the devil deceive us to think that there's other things greater than what God has for us. You have to set up a standard. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to be in church. I don't care how it looks. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Not because you're called to full-time ministry. It doesn't mean it's because you're called to full-time ministry. But you've come to a value system that you are a child of God going to heaven and hell or high water. Nothing's worth your oil because the devil's after your oil. We have access to this newness of life. Just like the youth begin to access that newness of life that God has for them. God has it. What did they do? They positioned themselves. They went to camp, but it wasn't the camp. It was they were in the presence of God, in the Word of God. You know, you spend that much time in the Word of God for that many days, you know what's going to happen? I don't care who you are. You're going to experience God. You stop spending time in God's Word and God's presence and worship and church, I don't care who you are, you're going to dry up. Oh, I'm anointed. I'm titled. I can preach. It don't matter what you are, who you are, who they tell you you are. You get away from God and you are on the path of destruction. I've seen it. I've seen great men and women of God anointed and God use them and they go on the wrong path and all of a sudden they find destruction. You don't believe me? Talk to Samson. You're never too anointed to stay out of the anointing. Ooh, let me say that again. You are never too anointed to stay out of the anointing, to stay out of the presence of God. Well, I got a big following. Good for you, but you were never too big to stay out of the presence of God. We keep coming back into that newness of life. How long? Whatever you need for the day. When you go to a buffet, what do? You eat till you're not hungry anymore. Or some of us, we eat till we can't eat anymore. Either way. But it changes per day. There is a newness of life for every person. But you got to go after it. It's available. We're not going to let the devil talk us out of it. And we're not going to give it away. Can I get an amen? If you received anything, give the Lord a hand clap of praise with him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, with no one looking around, I'm not talking about being a better person, a self-help, more discipline. Is Jesus, and the way you process and experience for your own self, is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know that he's your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 5 and 6 tells us, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's something we believe and communicate, speak with our mouth. So I'm going to lead you in a short prayer. Three people I'm talking to right now. The one, people have never heard the gospel. That God so loved the world that who were condemned already, and he sent his son to die on the cross for their sins, be buried for them, and on the third day rose again so that they could be saved. He paid the price of sin. Number two, those who used to have a relationship with God, but for whatever reason, They've allowed stuff to come between them and God. And like the five foolish virgins in Matthew 25, they found themselves missing the oil that belonged to them. They find themselves in a place where they're no longer in connection with God. Or the third group. People say, you know, Pastor, I prayed that prayer, but I'm not too sure. And I really like to know for sure, is Jesus my Lord and Savior? If any of those three are you, this is your moment. This is your time. This is your moment. This is your time. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you are any of those three groups, never heard the gospel, knew the Lord and walked away, or three, want to make sure things are right, let this prayer come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins, and I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, be my Savior and my Lord. I receive you today. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to speak a blessing over your life. If you prayed that prayer, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. You say, but Pastor, I'm not comfortable standing. I don't know many people around me. I understand. I get it. I'm the same way. But most people don't believe that. But the reality is, if we don't stand up for Jesus where people are clapping for us in the house of God, how do we stand up for Jesus in a world that's trying to talk us out of serving Jesus? There has to be a crossing. The saying, I'm leaving it at the altar. I'm stepping up. We're not going to take you to a side room. We just want you, we're going to clap. I'm going to speak a blessing over your life. I'm going to give you simple instructions, and then you can sit back down, and we'll close the service in prayer. So if that's you, you say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer today. I've just given my heart to the Lord. I've come back to the Lord, or now I know that I'm right with God. Any of those three that we were talking to, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. The bold, I want you to be quick to encourage those who are passive. One, two, three. Stand to your feet in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, church. Give them a hand clap. God bless you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Stay standing. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands. First of all, let me say congratulations and welcome to the family of God. We love you and we celebrate with you. We're family. Stretch your hands toward them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every person that has accepted you. We thank you for their salvation. We seal them with the blood of Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, equip them according to your word. Strengthen them with might on the inside, their spirit person, by your Holy Spirit, so they can stand up against sin, stand up for you, and fulfill their destiny that you have for them. We thank you for that. Anoint them right now in Jesus' name. Let your hand be upon them right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you.